FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and we are back on the Financial Survival Network. It's Kerry Lutz, and the date is October 2nd, 2014. That means it's time for Mickey Fulp's Major Market Review. It's time for Mickey Fulp's Monthly Major Market Review. Mickey is back, refreshed from his major road trip. How are you, Mickey?
I'm doing well, Kerry. We had a three-week road trip, and I had a day turnaround. Then I went to Toronto for a week. So I got back Sunday night or something, and changed the calendar 2 months. I was still in August. So
wow, 3 weeks, yeah. Man! I am envious. It's something that I've always wanted to do, and one of these days I'm going to do it. And the hot rod Lincoln hold up okay?
Oh, absolutely. I got the oil change mid trip, but you know, it's amazing to me that that car, as big as it is, gets 22 miles a gallon on a highway. So with gasoline prices going south, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you put it on cruise control and you let it go, huh?
Yep, sit back in your recliner and put a thumb on the steering wheel and watch it drive itself.
Yeah, kind of like what the stock market's been doing, huh?
Yeah, it is driving itself. You know, the two major North American markets both closed off for September after posting all-time highs in mid-month. The NASDAQ actually had started out with a really good month, but it was down 2% over in September. This is perhaps of some concern. The small caps, you just informed me, crossed the 50-day moving average. We had the all-time high in the Russell 2000 in July, but it was down 6% for the month. And that does not bode well, I don't think, for the U.S. economy, because recoveries, which arguably we are in, usually led by the small caps. And so I have some concern about that. TSX, big board, an all-time high in the early month, and it just tanked after that, down 4% in September. That's probably due to the big hit that commodities took over the month. And much the same for the venture, which is really dominated by commodity stocks. It was down for 11% over the month, but also 11% over the quarter. And essentially, it's what has happened. All the year-to-date gains were lost in 1 month. Also, the emerging market index down a whopping 7.5% over the month, and it really has come down to bow down to your master, and that's the U.S. dollar, which has reasserted itself as the alpha dog amongst a motley menagerie of mongrels. The U.S. dollar hit nearly a 4.5-year high since May of 2010, closed the month just a tad shy of 86. Where this is coming from, who knows? The euro was down only about a half of the U.S. gain, down about 3.5%, almost 4% over the month. So there has been some divergence with that usual correlation. But we've seen some particular currencies very weak. The Swedish krona very weak. The Aussie dollar is just getting murdered. And, you know, it's kind of crazy, but we have this flight to safety, which is now the U.S. dollar. And certainly gold is not a safe haven anymore unless you live in the third world. We'll get into that a bit more later. Surprisingly enough, with this quantitative easing winding down and almost over, interest rates have hardly moved. The 10-year Treasury is at 2.52%. That's up 7% over the month. But, you know, we're still, who is attracted by rates like that? I just don't quite understand it. And finally, we get to big Bitcoin, the big loser for the month. No surprise there, down 24% over the month, 35% for the quarter, and a whopping 49% year to date. Bitcoin has lost half its value this year.
Yeah, and when you look at its peak, which was at 1,200, it's trading at a third of it. And hey, you can't say that's a speculative currency, can you? And hey, crazy. Speaking of currencies getting beat up, what about the Canadian dollar, the loonie? It's getting beat up like the Aussie dollar there, just about, you know.
Well, it's taken a real dive with this new strength, which has come on in the U.S. dollar in the last couple of months. But if you look at a year-long chart of the Canadian dollar, it's basically where it started at the first of the year. So it's had some ups and downs. I'm actually surprised a bit with the extreme weakness we've seen in commodity markets that the Canadian dollar has, over the course of the year, has essentially remained flat. And it appears to me that North America is kind of walking in lockstep. So all hail America Light, our wannabe 51st stake here.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, the housing market in Canada still pretty strong, but it is showing signs of perhaps weakening, and whether that will have any effect on the loonie or not remains to be seen.
Well, as a part-time resident of Canada, specifically downtown Vancouver, I would welcome a crash in the housing market there, because then maybe I could afford something versus renting a high rise in downtown Vancouver.
Yeah. Yep, but got our commodities this month, with the one notable exception, and one minor exception, really got taken to the cleaners, huh?
Well, it did. The precious metals were really brutalized within an overall weak commodity sector. Gold down 5%, silver down 12%, platinum down 9%, palladium. Down 14% over the month after hitting an 11-year high on September 1st of 908. Explain that to me. I can't understand it. I can't understand the general demise in commodities, and that correlates very strongly with the strength in the U.S. dollar. All these things are priced in U.S. dollars worldwide, so when the dollar is very strong in relative terms, in dollar terms, commodities go down. We're going to do a little correlation here, hopefully tomorrow, when my research assistant comes in and do a correlation charts for all the metals. And it is my presumption that in real dollar terms, they're going to be flat over the last month. We'll see. The gold silver ratio is getting to that magical point, Gary. It's at month's end, it was 71. My sweet spot is going to be someplace around 75. I have not bought silver in any quantity since mid to third quarter of 2008 during the global economic crisis, when it went above 80. I might buy some silver, and then when it gets out of whack on the other way, I trade it in for some gold. But in the industrial metals, iron ore is very weak, and copper has shown some weakness, but it's trading $3 and some pennies. But I'm certain that correlates negative correlation with the U.S. dollar. So copper demand still remains relatively strong. Going on to energy, WTI lost another 3.5% over the month. Brent lost 7.6%. These two oils, arguably the benchmarks for most of the world, lost 13.5% and 14.7% respectively over the quarter. That's astounding to me. Henry Hub was up a bit at 412. I think that's because inventories have gone down a bit over the month. And finally, the big winner this month, once again, is uranium, up 11% in September, 26% in the third quarter. And it's actually up over the year now at 3%. Closed the month at 35.50 after reaching a high of 36.50. We would expect continuing strength in the uranium market.
Yeah, and you pretty much nailed that one. And yeah, it's finally having its day, as it were. And hey, we're getting close to winter. Oh, one other observation I wanted to make. Gold to silver ratio, since you and I have been doing our monthly wrap-up, that is a record. It's never gone over 70 since we've been doing it. Highest it got was last month. Actually, a few months before that was 66.8, 71.1, highest since we've been doing it for, since 2012. So what that means, I think we're going to find out soon.
It means a buying opportunity in silver, I think. So
I'm inclined to agree. But when you bought, like you and I bought, I bought end of 2008, beginning of 2009. I'm not that anxious to buy, but when you see it's a bargain, relatively speaking, it makes you want to buy. So you like to buy things cheap. I wanted to just talk to you about natural gas situation there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of where it's going to go this year is dependent upon what's happening for this winter, which we can't possibly know what the weather's going to be. The guys that get paid the big bucks, they're clueless. But, if the trend follows, we're seeing some cold temperatures around North America start happening. And we could hit another bad winter and we could really see it go up.
Well, it looks like it could be primed to go up significantly. But once again, natural gas is very weather related. And geez, the weatherman can't predict a 3 or 7 day forecast. So, they keep vacillating on whether we're going to have an El Nino year or a flat year. And it vacillates on about a biweekly basis. So. Yeah.
Well, it's all depends on, it's all on the Northeast and, the Midwest, right?
It's what it's all about with natural gas, especially in the wintertime.
Yeah. So could get interesting there because, it's also that it's back over $4, for 1 month it went down, it was at 374 a couple of months ago. It went right back over $4. And so perhaps it's showing a little bit of strength that that wasn't expected. So maybe there's a play there. I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no, but it's just a commodity that I watch closely.
Well, it's certainly an interesting commodity and something that some people can make money at. It's just a little risky for me.
It's a tough one, it's a tough one and you've, I don't know. I always think you have to be a pro, I don't want to say in the pits because there are no real commodity pits anymore, but you got to be on the floor, some trading floor, someplace to make money on that one because, it just, you just get your legs cut out from underneath you so quickly in that one.
Oh, it's big boy football and unless, you were once a trader in the pits, and I know a couple of guys that once were on the floor in Chicago, and they played commodities quite successfully. a significant portion of time, but not my game.
Yep.
I'm more interested in what's going to happen to the gold-silver ratio here over the next month.
I'm interested in that and the stock market, too. What's going to happen there?
I'm rooting for further weakness in silver because, in all actuality, I'd like to buy some more silver.
Hey, it could well happen, but I think that weakness is going to be short-lived. And, you know, I don't want to be a permabull in anything, but, you know, there's serious problems in the world here that haven't been addressed. And eventually the world is going to rediscover precious metals, particularly here in the United States. I think there's an inevitability to it, and eventually the world will go back to them. I don't see any way around it. I could not
agree more on that take. To me, these weakness in precious metals represent buying opportunity.
Yeah, and it's not being a cockeyed optimist of the world, you know, just because there's something about it. It's just because the problems that the world faces now, the economic problems, really are insurmountable with the current solutions being applied to them, piling on more debt, all that. But we will.
And starting more wars, Gary. Yeah.
Oh, we can't forget that.
Can't forget that.
Yeah. That always helps, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, till next time, Mickey, just tell us where we find you on your various sites.
Mercenarygeologist.com. Interview posted at mercenarygeologist.fm. We are now up to 38,000 Twitter followers at Mercenary Geo.
Excellent. And of course, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Just go there. We've got all of Mickey's links there. And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. And Mickey, till next month.
Till November, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.